All right, before we come to the communion table together, let's continue in Hebrews 11. And we have what we call grammar and adversative. Now, an adversative means something that where you say in just the opposite direction to where you just have, this is true, but this is also true. Those who believe in name it, claim it, believe that nothing should ever happen bad to Christians. And if you just had enough faith, you wouldn't be sick. And if you just had enough faith, you'd have, you know, any material thing you want, right? And if you just had enough faith, you could make sure. Well, you know, it's appointed for man wants to die, right? Then the judgment. And we have a whole bunch of passages dealing with trials and adversities and persecutions and things like that. I've had over the years people come to the counseling table and tell me, God wants me happy. I said, no, God wants you holy. If you're in Jesus Christ, you'll find blessedness and happiness and joy. But sometimes it's a rough path to get there. In this world, you're going to have tribulations. Be of good cheer, have overcome the world. And that's why this passage we have in an adversative. Now, when we really start in verse 35, that first part of 35 actually belongs with 34. I don't know why they didn't include that, because it's ending up saying, and God did this miracle through this saint and this saint. You know, the women received their dead and raised to life again. But here's the adversative. It starts with others. All these great things happened, but others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings and, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were stolen in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God had provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. After listing of these Old Testament saints who did great feats, they defeated large armies, they stopped the mouths of lions, they walked unharmed in the fire. They escaped the sword. They performed great signs and miracles. He then turns and speaks to those who were tortured and martyred for their faith. Others is the connector word. Others. Now in Greek, there's two types of others. Others of a different kind, and it's a Greek word heteros. The word heterosexual, the hetero thing. Is this a different type, right? For example, you might have two pieces of fruit here, one an orange, one an apple, but the one is a different type of fruit than the other, right? The other word is olos. We get our word all from it. And olos is the same type. We have that over in John chapter 14, where Jesus says, it's important that I go from you that I might send another of the same type. The Holy Spirit is like Jesus, right? It's another of the same type. Olos is another of the same type. Well, this one's in heteros. In other words, some were delivered from death, but some were delivered to death. It didn't mean that God loved others, one, and didn't love those, or the one who died had less faith than the ones who were delivered. That's how that means. It's divine purposes of God, he keeps secret to himself, right? He doesn't tell us why one and the other. And so some were delivered to death, some delivered to death. The difference being those who were delivered and those who were not delivered because of their faith were martyred was the divine purpose of God. Matter of fact, Daniel 3 is probably the best illustration of that, is when Nebuchadnezzar tells Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to bow down before the image he had made. He says, we shall not bow down to the image, but only to God. He said, well, I'm going to throw you in that fiery furnace here. And he says, well, God can deliver us, but if he doesn't, then we're still not going to bow down. So when the three were cast in, they did not know if they were going to be delivered or not. They were cast in, and I think one of the great ironic twists of the passage is the fact those who cast them in, they're the ones who died. Because they heated the fire seven times brighter, hotter, and they threw them into the fire, and they were walking around. You know, we used to have that children's play, and they would sing the song, it's cool in the furnace, man, the furnace is cool. And then he looked in. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar looked in and says, wait a minute, didn't we cast three in there? Yes, Lord, we cast three in there. And says, well, I see four, one like the Son of God walking in there, which I believe was Jesus. But in Acts chapter 12, which Robert, you read, is James and Peter were put in jail. James was beheaded. Peter was released. Well, did God love Peter more than James? No. Well, there's a purpose for one and purpose for the other. I always thought it intriguing that James was the first one killed of the apostles, and John, his brother, was the last one who died. So the brothers of Zebedee, bookend the entire apostolic age. But I digress. Stephen was stoned and died. Acts 7. Paul was stoned at Lystra, and he got up, and all he lived went back in the city to finish his sermon. One or the other, right? Now many were offered to be delivered from death if they would only confess the pagan gods, and they refused to, looking for a better resurrection. You have the 40 soldiers of Sebaste. You know, the king Agricola says, you know, if you bow down and you have sacrificed to the images and the image of Caesar, we will release you. We will not. And they marched out into the ice where they were going to be frozen to death, saying, 40 soldiers are Christ we are. 40 soldiers are we. And so they were looking for a better resurrection, that is a resurrection that was in their God, one that was eternal and not temporal. They're looking for eternal life and eternal reward rather than a temporal reprieve. That's, remember what we studied in about Moses and earlier in this chapter, where he says that he rejected the teaching and the wealth of Egypt that he might obtain a better inheritance. Turned down the reprieve for the reward of the Lord. And there were many ways witnesses were abused. And those, it says mocking, so the Greek word actually means derisive torture. Not just, you know, derogatory names, right? Derisive torture is really scourgings, floggings, and beatings, imprisonments and chains, like Joseph cast in prison, Jeremiah cast into a cistern, that Ebed-Melech went to the king, says we should take him out because when the rain comes and fills up, he's going to drown, which he was taken up. Witness were impoverished and tormented. You know, the old saying is that Paul never checked in to see what the inn looked like in a town, but what the jail looked like, because he knew he'd end up there. They carried their messages to far places. They had to flee in the wilderness for areas for safety. They weren't well received by either the great or the small, the rich or the poor. They wore animal skins. They had no homes of their own. They had no possessions. They lived in caves and dens. Paul mentions that over in 2 Corinthians 11, where he says, and hungers often, because he had no food, and it wasn't that he liked to fast. Didn't have anything. Some died by the sword, and some commentators say this wanderings in sheep and goatskins refers to one way they would torture people is they'd wrap them in fresh animal skins tightly and let the sun dry it out. When it shrunk, it'd crush them to death. I don't believe that's the context there. I believe they didn't have any clothing. The New Testament example was, of course, John the Baptist. He went around in animal skins. Today, we think he's wearing furs, so that'd be pretty fancy, but didn't have clothes. Dressed in animal skins. It says sawn in half, and that's, I mentioned that at the 10 o'clock service where the tradition is that Manasseh captured, imprisoned Isaiah, put him in a hollow log, and sawed him in half alive. And then look what it says. He said, but after all this, none received the promise. Like Abraham, I'm going to give you all this land. When Abraham died, he had just had a burial plot. All this is going to be yours. They didn't get it while they're here on earth. Every single thing, all these promises, because the promises are not of this earth. The promises are ahead of us. You know what promises we've been given here on earth? Lo, I will be with you forever, even unto the end of the age. No temptations overtaking is common to man. But I'll give you a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Here's a good promise for you. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. The promises are dealing with relationship, with dealing with empowerment, dealing with the presence of our God, dealing with being able to walk in a holy way. The promise of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. These are the promises we have. But boy, what lies ahead of us. The songwriter caught that, didn't he? This world is not my home. I'm just what? I'm just passing through. Because I have a home somewhere beyond the blue. Just caught that. Caught it also in the hymn, I'm a child of the King. Silver and gold, I have need of none. And so we come to this point where we have to understand that we're looking ahead. And so Abraham didn't receive the promise. Jacob didn't receive the promise. Isaac didn't receive the promise. This is not our land. We're foreigners here. We're passing through to something greater. We do not have a permanent inheritance on earth, and I'm glad because I read the 2 Peter 3 where it says this earth and the whole universe is going to pass away in a conflagration, right? A loud noise. But it's a new heaven and a new earth that's coming. And it's ours. Now, I want you to notice here, this ending is so beautiful. He said, you know why the Old Testament saints couldn't receive the promise? Because it says they couldn't inherit anything without us. The hymn writer caught that in his hymn, and he included even me. In other words, the church was in God's mind, and the saints of the Old Testament could not inherit anything until we do. Because we're in here as one people. John chapter 14. And so the Old Testament saints could not receive their reward till we do. It's because they're incomplete with us. They were not made, now notice what it says in your translation, made perfect without it, the words teleos. They were not made complete without us. Yeah, it's a different age. It's a church age. Different approach that God has to us than he had to the Jews. But we're all in it as God's people. The church was necessary in God's plan. The Old Testament believers had to await the incarnation of Jesus Christ. They had to await the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They had to await the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They had to wait the church age, which starts at Pentecost and ends at the rapture. They had to wait for all that before they could inherit their kingdom. And then it's going to be a whole millennial kingdom that Jesus Christ reigns, and then the great white throne judgment, then we enter in eternity, then we all get our inheritance. And it's worth waiting for. It's worth waiting for. And so it's ahead of us. It's coming. Thought of that should strengthen us, right, and should empower us to move forward. The great cannot inherit the kingdom without the small. The mighty cannot inherit the kingdom without the weak. The people of the law cannot inherit it without the people of grace. The great saints set an example for us to follow, but they could not arrive at their destination without us. We have something better, something that they did not have. We have salvation in Jesus Christ, amen? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, they did not have that. The complete Word of God. We don't take that for granted. We have a complete Word of God. We know what the future is going to be. You cannot predict the dates of the future, though. He made them great to give us something greater. It's astounding, the love of God that's given to us, that we are necessary for his great plan. We must complete the journey that they had started. They have passed the baton on to us from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Moses to Christ, to Paul, to you and me. We are in this long line of faith. We have a great spiritual heritage. It is up to us now. The path that they trod has been laid out before us, that now we trod, and because of Jesus Christ, we will succeed and not fail. This is our heritage. Some delivered, some were sacrificed. Some did great things, some had evil things done to them. But all of it for the glory of God. We got the torch now. And what are we going to do with it? Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the power of the testimony of what you've given us here. We just pray, Lord, as we come before the communion table, that we'll be drawn ever closer to you. And if someone's hearing our voice at this time does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, draw them to the point of receiving Christ. And Lord, as we come before the communion table, we just pray, Lord, that we be especially drawn to you. And Lord, that we listen, that we might be empowered to do your will. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.